Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Hey, we're in a new series today called Giants, and I'm excited about this, probably because I'm a guy who likes overcoming obstacles. Anyone here like obstacles? Anyone here like overcoming the obstacles more than the obstacles, right? And so we're talking about giants, and we're not just talking about David and Goliath, but how many want to know there are lots of giants in the Bible? And maybe you're not aware of it. Maybe you've never studied or whatever. I was always intrigued. In fact, the seminar, I did a paper on the Rephaim and the Anakim and the different giants in the Bible. So I love this whole idea of giants. And so we're going to look at these. In fact, this week we're going to look at kind of an introduction to giants, look at where they're found biblically in the Bible. And then next week we're going to look at Goliath is the most famous giant. Most of us know about David and Goliath. He killed this giant. But Goliath had brothers. And of the five, there was five of them. So some people say, well, that's why David had five stones, because he had, you know, four brothers in himself. No, I think David brought five stones, because if at first you don't succeed, try, and try again. And I don't think it's because he had brothers. However, the five giants died on four battlefields. And in the Hebrew language, those places they died, I think are profound places. In fact, we're going to unpack and next week start talking about the places we fight giants. Because I think that all of us fight giants all the time. But I think there's some places in our life and in our marriage and our family and our personal lives that there are giants that stand before where we are and where God wants us to be. And we have to overcome those. We're going to look at those starting next week and have a little fun in this series. But today, I want to talk about, I've entitled my message, Four Giant Statements About Giants. And if you have your worship guide, you can take notes. And if you come here regularly and you come, you'll realize they're three-hole punched. There's some binders at the Connect desk you can get from us. They're free. Just pick one up. But the first giant statement about giants, if you take notes, is number one, giants are real and they're really big. That's profound right there. I hope you wrote that down, okay? Giants are real and they're really big. That's not as profound. I had a friend named Keith Elder. And Keith had a pituitary gland problem. In fact, scholars believe that perhaps there, you know, because you see there's a strain of giants before the flood, but there's giants after the flood. So did God not wipe out the entire earth and all that? No, scholars believe that it wasn't genetics that made people giants as much as it was maybe a genetic a weakness with a pituitary gland, where sometimes your pituitary gland continues to over-secrete. I had a friend named Keith Elder in Montana, was almost 7 feet tall because of a pituitary gland problem that he got in junior high, and he started growing and growing, and he never quit growing. He was a big guy. I mean, so big that once he went down, he was the district youth director in Montana. He went down the slide they had at camp, and his shorts got caught on the rivets going down the slide, but we won't talk about that. But another time, this was back when they had pagers. Remember the day of pagers? Some of you college kids are like, what's a pager? He had a pager. It started beeping. He's in a grocery store, and he's a big guy. A little kid behind him says, Mama, watch out. The truck's backing up. He's a big guy. Giants are big, and they're real. So let's look. I want to look biblically. In fact, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11. It's going to be on the screen, or if you have a... if you have the YouVersion Bible app, you can follow along on the notes there as well. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11, it says, King Og of Bashan was the last surviving of the giant Rephaites. That word giants, the Hebrew word Rapha, and Rapha literally means giants, and Rephaites is like the plural of that. And so he's the last of, he was a giant, he was a big guy. And it says this, his bed, check this out. I wonder who his real friends were, because your real friends show up when you're moving in or moving out. Listen to this. His bed was made of iron, and it was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. Say big boy. He's a big boy, man. And it can still be seen in the Ammonite city of Rabbah. In fact, they kept it there. I don't know if it was a museum or what, but they kept it there because it was so big they wanted everyone to see like this giant bed, okay? So giants, 13 feet long, 6 feet wide. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll pick up another story We're going to survey the Old Testament here real quick. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Then Goliath, Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks and faced the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. Just his bronze armor he was wearing was 125 pounds. He also wore a bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam." I had to look up that, like, how big's a weaver's beam? 2.5 to 3 inches thick. The circumference of my hydro flask. How'd you like to carry a sphere? The circumference of a hydro flask, probably about 12 feet long. The guy had some, see, he had some muscles, let's just say that. And it says, as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. Giant. He was real, and he was really big. Again, 9 feet tall, 125 pounds of armor, 2.5 to 3 inch thick spear, hydro, you know, the size of my hydro flask. He had a spear head, which was 15 pounds. We see in 2 Samuel, the story goes on, different, again, same family. Ishbi-benob was a descendant of the giants. Now, let me just say something. If you're a giant, you have the permission to name your kid whatever you want. But I'll tell you right now, if you're pregnant with a son right now, Ishbi-benob is not fair. Don't even think about it. There's some names you just don't want to name your kids, okay? It says, his bronze spearhead weighed more than 7 pounds, and he was armed with a new sword. He had cornered David and was about to kill him. See, again, scholars believe that Ishbi-benob was one of Goliath's brothers, and after Goliath was killed by David, and David didn't just kill him, David cut his head off and carried his head all around wherever he went to kind of broadcast his war. You know, his brother was like, I'm going to get that guy back, and he meant it. And he corners David, and how many of you guys are glad for your life group? His life group was there. It doesn't say that, but that's how I read the Bible, okay? Because it says, and Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue and killed the Philistine. Verse 15, or verse 18. After this, there was another battle. Say another battle. I mean, there's battle after battle. They're all dealing with it. It says there's another battle against the Philistines at Gob. As they fought Shebekai, the Husha. Aren't you glad I'm reading the names and not you? Don't judge me if it's like, that's wrong. I'm a linguistic and that's wrong. You keep that to yourself, okay? Killed Zaph, another descendant of the giants. And that word giants, again, Rapha. So sometimes you read in the Bible and you'll hear the sons of Rapha. That doesn't mean like Rapha was a man and he was a son. What it meant was you were a man who was of the giant tribe. In fact, that word Rapha, literally scholars call it the group of titans. They were titans. They were huge people. And this is in verse 19, during another battle at Gob, Elhan, the son of Jair from Bethlehem, killed the brother of Goliath of Gath. The handle of his spear was as thick as a weaver's beam, again, 2.5 to 3 inches diameter. Verse 20, in another battle. How many of you want to know? Look at me, guys. Just because you overcome one thing, yeah, you ever bet those people that say, I just can't wait till life slows down? And then it doesn't slow down. You get past this thing like, and you realize, okay, life just goes from one battle to another battle to another battle. And yeah, there's victory, and we learn how to celebrate those victories. But how many want to know life continues to show up? Just when you think you got it licked by the tail, tail shows up and starts wagging again, right? It says, in another battle with the Philistines at Gath, they encountered a huge man with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in all, who was also the descendant of the giants. Pastor Bo was like, Mark, are you preaching on the guy with 24 fingers and toes? And he says, you should have a 24-point sermon. I said, you're going to preach that one. So in a couple weeks, there'll be 24. No, there won't be a 24-point sermon. But all I want to say is there's times you're in a battle and life seems bigger than normal and bigger than what you can handle. And I believe that that's a giant that kind of shows you that. In other words, now this is where a lot of people get to where they think Goliath had 4 brothers. These 4 Philistines were descendants of the giants of Gath. So a lot of people believe that those are the four brothers of Goliath. And I don't want to say that. I think there are four people who were giant of structure, those four were brothers. But in other words, there were giants throughout Scripture. They were real, and they were really big. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it's not in your notes, it's not on the screen here, it says the Emites, it's like, reminds me of the termites, okay, or the Emites used to live there, a people strong and numerous and as tall as the Anakites. Like the Anakites, they too were considered Rephahites, which are what? Giants. But the Moabites called them the Emites. In other words, guys, here's the big picture here in the Old Testament. You'll read in the book of Genesis about the group called the Nephilim, which were huge giants. There's the Emites, who literally, the Hebrew word for Emites means the terrors. Anakites, or the Anakim, it means long neck. They were tall. They had, and they were tall in stature. And so they had the Rephahites. They were all what? Big people, big giants. Giants were in the Bible. And here's the premise of this series: is there big people? Well, yeah. I mean, there's big people. They're naturally big. But I believe this. There's a picture here that God's people are going to face at times obstacles bigger than them. And they're real, and they're really big. But here's what I have to say. We have a real God who's even bigger than a really big obstacles. And so, giant statement number one on giants is they're really big, and they're real. Number two, the second giant statement about giants, is every giant introduces a person to himself or herself. Say it again. Every giant introduces a person to himself or herself. I'm convinced of this. How you navigate the problems and crises of life determine who the type of people you'll become. In the Chinese language, they have two symbols for crisis. And they put the two symbols together, and that symbol means crisis. One symbol is danger, and the other is opportunity, because in their language, they know every crisis is a danger or an opportunity. In other words, you can go one way or the other. How many of you guys have ever faced crisis and you went the wrong way? And so I as your pastor, or you're here maybe as a guest, a crisis doesn't make us. Crisis reveals what we already are. Say it again. Crisis doesn't make us. Crisis simply exposes who we really are. In other words, I believe God has put giants in our life because a giant introduces a person to him or herself. How will you respond to giants? How do you respond to a giant crisis in your marriage? How do you respond to a crisis with your children? How will the church respond when there's crises in our culture? In fact, almost giants antagonize the Christian worldview. It's a world we live in that's almost like that's difficult. How will we, and what type of people will we become as we fight? I don't believe crisis makes you who you are. Crisis reveals who you are. So what are you doing now to make sure you're ready for the crisis? Who are you? Giants reveal who you are. Are you a giant killer, a giant avoider? Who are you? David and Saul. David was king of Israel. Saul was king of Israel when David was just a shepherd boy taking care of his dad's couple sheep. And one day dad goes, hey, the brothers have been gone for a while. You need to take some Tillamook cheese to them. God always wants his people to have the best, right? Sorry, I grew up in Tillamook. I can say that. And so he says, take some cheese and crackers to your brothers. Go take some, check on them, find out how the battle's going. He goes there, and here's an army, guys. Listen, for 40 days, they got ready. They shined their shoes. They ironed their clothes. They were ready for battle. They had everything ready. And Goliath comes out, defies the armies of the living God, and puts a challenge before them. And what happens? They're paralyzed and don't fight the giant. David's going, who's that uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? And Saul says, you can't go fight him. You're but a boy. And then Saul says, here, put my armor on. Isn't it amazing how someone who doesn't want to fight a battle is willing to tell someone else how to fight their battle? You ever met those people? They don't kill a giant, but they're going to tell you how you should. I believe giants reveal who you really are. Who are you? How to respond when no one's around. We won't talk about it much today, but no one starts out as giant killers. They start out, first of all, killing lions and bears when no one's around. And they get the confidence in the private world so they can overcome things in the public world. I've always said this, the most public thing you do is what you do in the private of your own home. The most public thing you do as a Christ follower is what you do with your private devotions at home when you pray and you read the word and you grow spiritually. Because you'll face giants, and giants simply reveal who you are. What are you and who you are? And that's a character situation here. Giants reveal the character, who you really are. The third giant statement about giants, if you take notes, is number three. People who reach giant success have defeated giants. I know it sounds almost like, duh, but to do what you've never done, you have to do what you've never done. If you want to kill giants, you have to kill giants. And people who reach giant success in life, think of those in the world of academia, those in the world of sports, those in the world of politics, those in the world of art, those in the world of whatever world you live in, people who have reached giant pinnacles of success have had to overcome giants. The only way David could be a giant killer was for David to kill a giant. And when David killed a giant, I'll tell you what happened. The paralyzed army of Israel all of a sudden was unparalyzed. And all of a sudden they followed the guy that killed Goliath. And they pursued the Philistines and killed every one of them. Why? Because when someone faces a giant, all of a sudden they become a giant killer. And people all of a sudden rally around people who kill giants. If you want to reach success in life, in your family, in your spiritual world, kill giants. In Numbers chapter, see here in the Bible, follow me here for a picture. There's a promised land God had for his people, the Israelites. And we know the Israelites found themselves in Egypt because there was a famine, and God took one guy, Joseph, over there, and Joseph ends up being the deliverer and gets him out of there. And then later on, they kind of walk around the wilderness for a while, and Moses leads them. You know, there's a whole lot of stories. But there's a promised land that God had for his people. How many believe God has a preferred future for you? God has what he wants your marriage to look like. God has what he wants your dating relationships to look like if you're single. God has what he wants your interaction with other people to look like. God has what he wants your spiritual life to look like. If you want to overcome giants, your promised land, here's a statement. Your promised land is on the other side of giant land. The only way for the Israelites to get to the promised land was to come through a giant land. We read that in Numbers. It says, the Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. And the land I'm giving to the Israelites. What's he say? Go explore the land I'm giving to you. How many of you guys would like God to give you something? There's a land he's going to give them. And so he finds a leader from all 12 tribes. And so Moses did as the Lord commanded. He sent out 12 men, all the tribal leaders of Israel from the camp of the wilderness of Paran. It goes on to verse 27. They come back with a report. This was the report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore. It was indeed bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. There's the kind of fruit it produced. They were carrying grapes between a pole. The grapes were so big, two people had to carry it on a pole. And it says, but the people living there are powerful. So there's a land flow with milk and honey. God's told them, you can have it, I'm giving it to you. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants. It's the Greek word rapha. We even saw Raphaim there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites lived in Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites lived in the hill country. The Canaanites lived among the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan River. Verse 30, I love, but Caleb tried to quiet the people. Hey, guys, stop. Quit giving a bad report. He says this. They stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We certainly can conquer. And I love verse 31. It says, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread the bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through, explore, will devour anyone who goes there. All the people we saw were huge, which is false. Because just a few verses later, it says some of them were giants. Isn't it amazing how when you begin to believe a bad report, it starts getting worse the more you rehearse it? You ever had a problem, you nursed it, and you cursed it, and you rehearsed it, and by the end of it, it was bigger than when you started? Oh, all the people were huge, and we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought of us, too. Oh, really? So you're a mind reader now, too. Notice he says, we felt like grasshoppers. Look at me, guys. You can't trust your feelings. When's the last time you felt like telling someone off and you told them off and you realized, okay, I shouldn't have believed my thoughts? Remember junior high? Some of you aren't married to that girl you thought you were going to marry to because you can't trust those feelings. You can't trust. We felt like grasshoppers. Well, and all I have to say is just because you feel like a grasshopper, look at yourself. If you ain't green with, you know, if you ain't brown or green, I'm colorblind. Whatever color they are with multiple legs, okay? Be careful when you trust your feelings more than the promises of God to give you a place he promised to you. Just because what stands between you and that is something big. And something real, because giants are real and they're really big. If you want to reach giant success, you have to overcome giants. I love in Numbers chapter 14, God rebukes these people who had faith more in the giant than in him. And it says this, you'll drop dead in the wilderness. Now, how many guys would like that prophetic word? Oh, guess what, guys? You're going to drop dead in the wilderness. Congratulations, you won the prize. You drop dead in the wilderness because your expiration date will come up and you complained about me. Every one of you who's 20 years or older, you'll include it in the registration, will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb and son of Jephunneh and Joshua son of Nun. Why? Because God, giant killers or people that are willing to face giants reach success other people don't reach. My question for you is this. Is there something in your the belly of your gut that says, I want to do big things for God. I want to see big things happen through my family. I'll tell you right now, if you want giant success, it's going to happen on the other end of killing giants. The third giant truth about giants is this. The fourth, giants are often tools by which God fashions us for his purpose. Giants are often tools by which God fashions us for his purpose. I read about this years ago, so I actually looked it up again today, but at Amherst College in Massachusetts, they did what they called the Great Squash Experiment. They took normal garden squash, and they put a steel band around the garden squash, and they put springs and pressure gauges. They wanted to find out how much pressure a normal garden squash would take as it continued to grow. And so they put the bands there. As the squash is small, it begins to grow and grow and push against the outer bands. And they were thinking, you know, maybe 500 pounds. Well, it soon pressed by 500 pounds. They had put more bands around it. And in 2 months, it was applying 15 pounds of pressure. And when it reached 2,000 pounds of pressure, they had to put even a stronger band around that. The squash eventually reached 5,000 pounds of pressure as it pushed against the bands. And then its rind began to open up and it exposed. It was compromised. And at that time, they took the metal band off and they cut open the squash, which was in its current state unedited. You couldn't eat it because it was nothing but muscle-like fiber inside of that. Because the outside pressure changed the inside of the squash. In fact, it says this, it goes on, and it says, they opened the squash, they found it was inedible, it was full of tough, coarse fibers. The plant required great amounts of nutrients to gain strength, needed to break the bonds, and its roots extended about 80,000 feet in all directions. If you want to overcome giants, let me just tell you something right now. It's not what happens to you that's important. It's what happens in you that's important. I'm convinced that some of us, when giants come, we go, well, you know, I don't know if I want to overcome that. And I'll just say right now, if you don't overcome that, you will not experience the success or the fruit or the joy you want in your marriage or your family or your life or your spiritual life. But friends, the giants God puts around you are to fashion you. I remember in my last job, I worked as a district youth director and for the state of Alaska, and youth pastors would call me, and they'd be in a difficult place. Like, I just don't know if I like this place. I don't know if I like the pastor. It's difficult. And I remember one guy would call me and said, Mark, I can't wait to get out of here. And I was like, you know, a year and a half ago, you were telling me the same thing at the last place you were at. Can't wait to get out of here. And you ever had something come upon you, and you're like, wow, I got kind of mean to that guy. I was talking to this guy, and I'm on the phone, and all of a sudden, I just got irritated. And I said, would you just be quiet for a second? Take your thumb out of your mouth. And I said something I feel like God dropped in my spirit. I said, why are you trying to get out of a situation? You need to ask a different question. God, what do you want me to get out of this situation? How many want to know? Getting out of a place is different than saying, God, help me get everything out of this place. You're in a difficult place right now. It might not be because God wants to get you out of there. God might want you to help you get everything out of there that you can. Because God will put giants in life to fashion us. What would happen if God put the Israelites in the promised land without having them learn how to fight and overcome big obstacles? You can't become a big person for God if you haven't overcome some obstacles that are big. We're going to close in a minute. But we're going to open up the altars. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling through some really big obstacles. There's some really big giants, and they're real and they're big. And you don't even know how to get out of the situation you're in. And you don't even know how to get everything out of the situation you're in. But I'll tell you right now, if you want to do big things for God and find yourself living a fruitful, effective Christian walk with Jesus, you're going to have to overcome some giants. Because your promised land's on the other side of giant land. And we'd love to pray with you in a moment. In fact, can I pray for you right now? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room? Lord, I thank you for those that are here today. Thank you for those that are struggling, perhaps. They look at their family. They look at their marriage. Maybe they look at the finances, the giant financial crisis they're in. Or God, maybe they look at it's a challenge over their faith right now. Do I serve Jesus? Do I go this other direction? I'm pulled in different ways, God. Battle after battle after battle, we see a pattern in the Old Testament. The giants were faced, and they had to be dealt with before they could face the next one. Lord, help people find the spiritual intestinal fortitude to keep fighting. Fashion us through that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.